Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
The Grant and Danny radio program is exclusively sponsored by the law firm Condori and Murad. In 1 hour, we're going to give away Caps tickets on G&D. You better be listening if you want to see Connor McDavid at Capital One Arena.
Condori and Murad, they can do a lot for you, like estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
The Commanders have an architect that's going to help them design their new stadium. We want to talk about that and everything going on in Madrid. So let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show, our buddy Ben Standig. Substack Standig joins us from the States, where he is still here in the DMV. Ben, what's up, man? How are you?
Guys, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Indeed. So what's the deal with this architecture hiring slash, you know, they landed on somebody? What's this process been like? And for the average fan that's excited about the stadium but doesn't know a whole lot about anything else with this stadium, how much should they care about this development today? What does it signify?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we all appreciate the fact that it's going to happen. But every time there's a new announcement, it's like, oh, okay, this is actually happening. They're really going to go forward with this and build a stadium. And, you know, they picked the architect, the architectural firm that handled SoFi Stadium in L.A., AT&T Stadium in Dallas, a.k.a. Jerry World, the U.S. Bank Stadium up in Minneapolis, which I think is great. All these three stadiums are, you know, pretty impressive in their own way and, you know, have a modern look to them. And, I think that's, I don't know how many people are in this space. You know, they interviewed a few different firms, settled here. And, it should be a pretty modern look. I think they do a pretty good job, from what I gather, of finding ways to make the stadium connect to the local, topography, architecture, something, you know, the history, something. I don't know what that would be for here. But, all things considered, it seems like a pretty good choice. And now we'll wait and see what the actual design is. We know it'll be roughly, a 65,000-seat stadium, have a roof on it, and beyond that, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get into Art Deco or Art Nouveau or whatever from like something about Mary or George Costanza, pretend to be an architect. I have no idea about any of the terms or anything like that. But you kind of touched on my question, Ben. That is, are they, we're just going to make a new sleek-looking thing, or is there some deference towards the locale? And my editorial is, Nationals Park to me is fine. if you didn't know it was Nationals Park, it was in D.C. for a long time, you wouldn't know that it had any connection to D.C. And they started to do a better job of that, but there's nothing that says D.C. about it. It's just sort of, you know, boring gray concrete. Are they known for being able to say, hey, this is D.C., you can tell by fill in the blank?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Minnesota is a good example. I mean, the stadium looks like a pirate ship, basically, from the outside. It's very cool looking. And obviously it connects with the Vikings name. So in this case, sounds like, but this is just my guess, but from what I have a little bit, I gather that they will somehow connect with, you know, the DC of it all. You know, I don't know if it's going to look like the Capitol or the White House or anything along those lines, but have something. My guess is it's going to in some way, shape or form resemble or give you some feel that it is part of DC. Cause like you said, with Nats Park, it feels like it's pretty generic. And same thing with like FedEx Field, which obviously was built, you know, or not FedEx Field, but Northwest Stadium now, built back in the day. And it was a sort of like, yeah, it existed, but it didn't have anything to do with kind of anything. And I get the sense that this one should have some sort of specific aspects of it that's going to make you recognize where you are.
Ben Standing on Grant and Danny. With them leaning into the architects that helped design SoFi, it gives me some hope of this idea that they want where you could still feel like you're outside while you're inside. They've talked a lot about this. We know that it's going to be very likely a domed stadium. I know they've said it's not official that it won't be a retractable roof, but everything I've heard, and I'd be curious if you've heard anything different, is that they really have no plans on a retractable roof. I think this ownership feels like that's a lot of money, would be a huge expense to add to this project that they don't feel like is necessarily worthwhile.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't get the sense that the retractable aspect is going to happen. I get it, you know, like, ah, come on, you're in for a dime, in for a dollar, what's another few, you know, millions and millions of dollars, just go for it. But yeah, that other part you're mentioning will be interesting because SoFi, obviously, you know, you're out in L.A., so being outside in the elements, even when you're sort of under that roof is, you know, it's great weather. Here, we know how part of the year it's not going to be super fun. So I do wonder about that, especially if they're going to have Final Fours and other events like that, they're not necessarily designed to be in the elements in any way, shape, or form. So I don't know how that works. But look, I mean, this is a pretty exciting scenario. I mean, who knows what this will look like? But, you know, like we were just saying, between the original, you know, Jack Kent Cook World and the Nats Park, you know, kind of relatively underwhelming from an architectural standpoint, and I have high hopes for this one. Maybe I'm foolish for that, but I do kind of feel like, especially now having hired this firm, that this is going to be something that's going to be pretty eye-opening, what ultimately it looks like and how it plays out. You know, do we approve it? We'll see, but it should be pretty impressive facility, I would imagine.
I just think they got too many sharp people and too much money involved with really, really successful people who have backgrounds in some of these types of things. Like Mitch Rales, you know, he has Glenstone, where it's art, and I just think there's no way they screw this up with the money they're going to be dumping into the project in the city. You get one shot to do it. We're talking to Ben Standing on Grant and Danny. Specific to the indoor stadium, what's your thought on this? We get a lot of blowback from people who don't want the stadium to be domed and who want an outdoor stadium and to be in the elements. I've always kind of felt like this is one of those, like, oh, if this guy wins the presidency, I'm going to leave things. Like, I'll like it less. Until you're sitting inside and it's 68 degrees on a snowy day, and then all of a sudden you don't care as much. Like, do you agree, or do you actually think they're going to alienate some people by going indoors?
Well, I mean, they will probably alienate some people, but yes, to your point, it's easy to say that when you're at your house watching the thing on TV and you like seeing, it's like, you know, when everybody likes watching the snow games, you don't want to necessarily be at the snow game. You know, so I do think there's some of that going on. I mean, look, this is why I do wish it was a retractable, because it would be fun, depending on what level of elements we're talking about, for it to feel, you know, like it's winter. You know, this is the one thing I've always thought was weird about the NFL when it comes to, like, Super Bowl locations. Everybody wants snow games and football played in the elements and all that, except for the biggest game that they only want in, you know, a hermetically sealed dome or in, like, you know, 75 degree weather, even though we all view football as a game played in the 20s and 30s. So that part's kind of weird, but yeah, I think, look, again, this is not just about, it is about this football team, but they're viewing it as far more than that, and the far more than that aspect of it does not work as well at all for an outdoor. I mean, certainly not a pure outdoor stadium. If you want to have, you know, these other events, you can't do that. But if you want to have a retractable roof, you know, to me that would be completely fine. It's not my money.
Ben, standing with us here on G&D. So, two questions for you. I'll ask you the first one first. Grass? That's the wave now. Everybody's mad at the turf.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I missed it. Have they said what's the deal with this?
I'm just thinking if it's an indoor stadium, it's going to be hard to have grass unless you really think about it. Like, is there a way to have player-friendly grass in there, or are people going to be upset about it?
Well, ironically, right, they're over in Spain right now, and I think Real Madrid, where they're playing, has like one of these crazy setups where they can, you know, move the turf, you know, in and out, and
they grow it under the stadium. It's crazy.
Right. It's crazy technology, and you know, maybe there's something like that. I mean, like the Arizona Cardinals have something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, we're at a point where that's just sort of the norm, or gets close to that by the time this thing is ready to go, and they do that. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if it's not grass, then I don't know what the most modern version of, you know, non-grass is. But hopefully, it's that at a minimum. But you're right. I mean, this is a huge deal. Players complain about it all the time. I think, you know, we complain about it because we don't want the players to get hurt. So hopefully, whatever they do, it's going to be the best case scenario and not just some sort of, hey, we don't want to spend any more money, so give us the cheapest surface possible. I don't see that happening, but that would be the worst case for sure.
So this is going to sound like I'm joking, but I am not. Are they willing to cheat? And here's what I mean. I want sun glares on the opponents. I want nonsensical noise amplifying echo technology to make it so they can't talk to each other, but Washington can. Will they go all out and make an actual home field advantage, like a lot of teams seem to not really be willing to do? Like Seattle did it, and I want everyone to be like that.
Well, like, right, the Dolphins have like the best version, right? Their sidelines in the shade, the other team is baking in the
do that
South Florida sun. Yeah, I'm all in favor of that. I would think that they would. I mean, look, I always think with Josh Harris, he's a guy that was willing to do the process. He was willingly allowing his team to lose games in a very public, loud way, alienate people, probably hurt his ticket buying opportunities because they thought that was the best way to go. So yeah, I leave out there for hope of some chicanery in like the way you're describing here, where maybe they come up with like, hey, what's the best way to give us some sort of advantage? I can see that happening. Will they? You know, who knows? But I can see it happening, sure.
Check out Ben Standig's Substack at Last Man Standig on the Substack feeds. So go check that out. Ben, we had a poll of the day that we posted in our first hour, got a lot of calls on. I want to ask this question to you. It's been such a disastrous season, but if you fast forward 365 days from right now, is Washington over 500 and a playoff team again? Do you view this as fixable in one off season?
Oh man, you know, here's my caveat to saying yes or no. I got to know what we think of this, of these last two draft classes by the end of this season, because if these two draft classes are at least enough, if enough of these players by the end of the year, we're going, okay, Mikey Sanders, still, whatever was going on with him earlier in the year, he's worked it out. He now looks like a legit slot going forward. You know, Bobby Wagner, maybe it's, you know, this is the end for him, but we now think, hey, Jordan McGee, he's got this crazy athleticism. He's ready to take over that spot, et cetera. If these things happen, if enough of these guys can show they're viable, then I think an offseason could be enough. You know, look, I do think as much as we want to pillage, the defensive staff and players, the amount of injuries this team has just been unsustainable. And I think ultimately that's the big reason here. Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, et cetera, are the most obvious guys. So if they get these guys back and these draft classes start to show more than we've seen so far beyond the quarterback, then I think one off season could, you know, help turn this thing around. But if it's where we are right now, where we're kind of not sure about a lot of these guys, and they're going to have the third fewest players under contract next year, and this team has been obviously the oldest team, and how they're going to replace all these people, then I don't know if we can say one off season gets it done. But look, I think with Jaden Daniels, you know, you talked about the records before, like I had them at 9-8, but largely that was 9 because I thought that's the floor with a healthy version of him. We obviously haven't gotten that. So if that maintains true, that as long as he's on the field, you can be a winning record team, then, you know, maybe in offseason helps. But like I said, give me, let me know what these draft classes are all about, and then I'll tell you where I think this team will be in a year from now.
What's their most dire need that they could use right now, but obviously you can't do much player acquisition? What's their biggest need now and then kind of heading into that next year as we revamp?
I mean, I think on defense, it's a combination of the pass rush has been non-existent. They only have 7 sacks in the last 5 games. I mean, that's partly no Dorrance Armstrong, but also just they didn't have a lot of depth in that spot. But also, I just think on defense, they've got to find a guy who is a player that the other team has to constantly worry about. It doesn't have to be a pass rusher. And, you know, it's easy to say, like, hey, Kyle Hamilton, like with the Ravens, they just move him all over the place and he becomes a weapon wherever he is, or it's a Fred Warner type linebacker or whatever, but they need somebody on defense that is a true difference maker, somebody that the offense has to constantly account for, run away from, whatever it might be. If they can do that, that's not going to be, that's easier said than done, but I still think, like, in general, that's what they need. But pass rush, ultimately, if you don't have a pass rush, everything else behind that doesn't really make much difference.
Ben, if they get a top 5 pick, there's going to be a lot of excitement about using it on a player like the one you were just describing. But I think they got to trade back. They don't have enough picks. They got to recoup. Do you endorse this message?
Oh, yeah. I'm always an endorser of this message. I broke the seal today, guys. I had up my first mock draft today up on my Substack. I did a
No, you
That's
didn't.
Great. That's
today
great.
Was the day?
Oh, yeah. I people have been joking about it for a few weeks. And going into the Detroit game, I'm like, okay, I think they're about to get smushed, and what am I going to do here? So I reached out to somebody I know who works in a front office for another team. I was like, hey, I haven't looked at the draft at all. I need your help. But anyway, so we did the first, like, 15 picks. It kind of gave me some thoughts as we went through it. But then I said, give me a couple of names of some guys in, like, day 2, a receiver and a cornerback, because we went for defensive line in the first round. Who, like, if they trade down, might be somebody to keep an eye on, because I'm with you. Like, this is, you know, there's going to be a lot of unfortunate things that are going to happen in this offseason, and one of them is going to be the reality of no second-round pick, no fourth-round pick, and yet each of those picks might be top 10 in the round based on where things are right now. So that's going to sting. And then, yeah, when you only have a first and a third in terms of getting, you know, any kind of immediate help, that's not going to be nearly enough. So I think trading down, like you said, makes a lot of sense. The biggest thing I would hope for if I'm a fan, if you want this approach, is you need some of these quarterbacks to really show out the rest of the season. Because right now, talking to the person I was just talking to, and they're just, you know, what you read in general, this quarterback classes here has really fallen apart. But that can change quickly. We know how desperate teams are, and that's where you can maybe, you know, if you have a top 10 pick, get some good value trading back. But I'm with you in general, Grant. Like, I don't get the quick sense that there's, like, some dominant, amazing, you can't pass on this guy players where they're potentially going to be picking, but who the hell knows? I didn't think they'd be picking in the top 10, let alone potentially in the top 5. So, you know, what do I know?
Ben, you cover this team and you're around these folks a lot. I know they're pretty notoriously tight-lipped in terms of a lot of things, but just give me your best sense. What do you think they think? In other words, are they going, God, these injuries, and that's the reason? Or are they looking in the mirror going, you know, our whole approach to go old and 1 year and short term really backfired and we're hurt a lot? In other words, do you think, happen to believe, are pretty competent, smart people that get it, whereas, you know, the Bruces and the Vinnies of the world probably didn't. But do you think they think this is just bad luck, or do you think they know what's needed here to going into this offseason of a total paradigm overhaul?
Well, I think my guess would be that the injuries would be where they would lean into. You know, again, it was early in the year, but they were 3-2. And obviously things have, you know, injuries have completely derailed everything since, especially when, you know, your biggest difference maker and the quarterback is out for a bunch of these games. Your one big offensive weapon is out for a bunch of these games. Again, I think that these injuries have exposed their issues at depth. I think if you go back and look a year ago when Dan Quinn made the point of saying it's not a rebuild, it's a recalibration, that was a bunch of hooey. Now, I understand why he said it, but in real time, I was like, I don't know about that one, my guy. And then you see where the roster is. I think it is more of a rebuild than that statement allowed. But, of course, last year then happened, and they, you know, made it all the way to the NFC Championship game because, you know, young quarterback who was amazing. Everything else just kind of broke their way. And, you know, they got the best version of everybody. Plus, I still think we probably don't discuss it enough. You can't prove it. But whatever, like, reverse karma they got for, or positive karma they got for finally unloading Dan Snyder in the whole era, you know, for last year was a really, you know, the first time that it was a no Snyder. I really think there was a lot there that just played out perfectly for them as well. So all that said, like, I think that they probably think that they're still a team that can contend. Look, this is the NFL. Their schedule next year shouldn't be as complicated as this one or as challenging as this one, and that'll help. But, yeah, I mean, I think you would hope that at a minimum they have to look in the mirror, not so much the old guy part, but, like, what, you know, are we not getting the right guys for what we're trying to do? Because clearly on defense this year, there's been some massive disconnect, and whether that's the play calling or the players, something is way off, and they need to figure that out for sure.
How do you spell hooey?
Is it like H-O-O-E-Y?
That's what I think.
I wouldn't know. That's a great word, though. I might have to work it into the lexicon, especially the way this season's trending at this point. Check out Ben at his Substack. It's Last Man Standing. Ben, thank you, buddy. Good info today.
Thanks, Ben.
Guys, always appreciate it.
Yeah, always love checking in with him. Does a great job on the Commanders beat. All of our football conversation on the show is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Week 11 gets started tonight. There's some really, really good games this weekend, and you'll get to enjoy them with the Commanders playing first thing in the morning. We'll get into the schedule next on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
A couple of seasons of not very good football. At the end of the Mac Jones era, they saw some Bailey Zappe And now they've got Drake May and Mike Vrabel, and they're 8-2, and they're leading the division once more. Some cities are just lucky, man.
Yep, this is not cool with me. They deserve, just by what they achieved, probably, I'd say, I mean, just being kind, I'd say 75 years of barren, cold darkness in all sports, but they're not going to get it. They'll be right back, and little Jimmy from South, he's going to go to like his 20th parade in the next couple of years.
Looking at Coach of the Year going into tonight, where Vrabel is one of the top two odds getters right now with Shane Steichen. Who would be your favorite at this moment to win that award? Vrabel has the Patriots at 8-2, but Steichen has the Colts as maybe the biggest surprise in the league when you take schedule into account.
Yeah, for me, it's Vrabel, just given how horrendous that program was before he arrived, right? I mean, that's kind of my Coach of the Year barometer. The Colts weren't atrocious. They weren't good. I'm not telling you they were, you know, kings of anything, but they were hovering right around 500 each of the last couple of seasons. Tells you that there was something there. There was a good mold of clay. When Vrabel walked into that room in New England, it was a barren wasteland of nothingness, and they might be the one seed in the AFC.
They had blown out a head coach after a season, Albeit one in Mayo, who probably shouldn't have never been hired, as we found out as the year went on last year. But Vrabel's plus 120, a little better than even money odds, and then Steichen's plus 145.
Both deserving, by the way.
Absolutely, and they're head and shoulders the favorites above everybody else. There's only one other guy who's kind of separated himself from the rest of the pack. There's like three tiers. It's Vrabel and Steichen together. Then the second tier is Mike McDonald by himself, who is the head coach in year two now in Seattle. He interviewed for this job with Washington when Dan Quinn got the job. He went out to Seattle, accepted the Seahawks gig, and is a 4-1 favorite to be Coach of the Year. I think they're the best team, most complete team in the NFL right now. He is a defensive-minded guy. He's got their defense playing brilliantly. They were a top 10 unit second half of last season. They've carried that over. And he brought in Clint Kubiak as his coordinator, who has done an incredible job with Sam Darnold, with Jackson Smith in Jigba. I'm excited to see how the rest of the year goes for them. Then it's everybody else, led by Ben Johnson, Sean McVay, Sean Payton, Dan Campbell, all in the 25-30-1 range. But basically right now, you'd have to say it's a three-horse race between Vrabel, Steichen, and Mike McDonald.
I think this is not very high profile or excellent analysis here, but the finish is going to matter a lot. The last taste in people's mouths, I think, is kind of the thing that ends up governing it. So if Indianapolis kind of stumbles as they have each of the last couple of weeks, I mean, they're 1-1, but they didn't look right against Atlanta. If they kind of come back to the pack a little bit, still winning that division, probably. They got a 2.5 game lead over Jacksonville. Houston's, you know, on the rise, winning a little bit more lately, but in the Indianapolis head and shoulders above them. And the Patriots finish with their easy schedule, making this up 13-4.
Yeah.
I think it ends up going to Vrabel. But if, you know, you win that buzzsaw of a division in the NFC West, if the Patriots stumble a couple times down the stretch and McDonald and company win against San Francisco and they beat out the Rams, for which would end up putting them in probably maybe the 2 seed overall, you'd go, there's some consideration there. But to me, Vrabel should be the favorite.
Right now, this moment, if I had a vote, I would vote for Shane Steichen, actually. And my logic is, coming into the year, he was on the hot seat and expected to be fired. Think about that. I don't think anybody thought Mike Vrabel, who was entering his first season, was going to have New England at this record. But they were favored to win 11 games and look ahead lines. So just basically par the golf course and win the games you're supposed to. You're a 10-ish, 11-ish win team, which is still where this thing could end. They're on pace to do better than that. But the Colts were supposed to finish, depends on where you're looking, but for a lot of people, third or fourth. Like, let's not forget that there was a competition between Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones this spring, and people crushed Shane Steichen when he named Daniel Jones the quarterback, lest we forget. And that the point was that the clock had started, that he's going to get fired, and that Daniel Jones would be the biggest reason why. Jones, no longer necessarily an MVP candidate after the last couple of weeks with turnovers, but has played at a very high level, has been one of the top 7 or so starting quarterbacks in the NFL. They've got the number one rusher in the NFL. And talking to Logan on Take Command, his favorite offenses to watch this year in terms of scheme and play calling, on a very, very short list, he's got the Colts and Steichen. He's been that good offensively. As a guy, remember, who got the Eagles to the Super Bowl as their play caller before he left, and they took a step back for a season prior to last year. So I would go with Steichen as my Coach of the Year. Second on my ballot would probably be Mike McDonald, honestly.
Mm.
I just think what they're doing is incredible. And I think their defense is awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And he's the reason why. I'm not trying to take away from Vrabel, but it's the same thing I kind of say with May when it comes to the MVP right now. I think schedule and competition has a lot to do with what's going on. So if they keep, when you get a chance to beat Buffalo, you do it. When you get a chance to beat Tampa Bay, you do it. Then at some point, I just got to give you more respect. I don't even think it's disrespectful to say I've got you narrowly third out of a three-horse race right now.
And
you're Vrabel.
I know it comes across for me as Vrabel bias because I'm a huge fan
of
his.
Guy.
But I'm putting that aside for a second. 2 years ago, New England had a similar schedule like they do this year, and they went 4-13 and got outscored by 70 points over 2 weeks.
But they didn't have a quarterback.
Well, I know they did. They had an unproven guy that had some potential this year. When you tie your previous 2 years' combined win totals, because you were a joke in the wake of Bill Belichick and his terrible management since Tom Brady left, that program was a disaster. They were an embarrassment. They were a punchline. Looked like they were in store for a nuclear winner. And here he comes, correcting everything, still under-talented in a lot of places, with a defense that's top 10, an offense that's 8th in points. Yes, a quarterback certainly helps that, but they couldn't have taken advantage of an easy schedule under previous guys. End of Bill Belichick and during Mayo last year. To me, that's what I look at. When D'Amico Ryans goes to a ridiculous, terrible clown shoe of an organization that has fired coaches and is turning through guys and can't figure out which way is up, and they win double-digit games, go to the playoffs, coach of the year. Like, to me, that's what I care about. Like, when you take a joke and turn him into a juggernaut, that's my criteria. Doesn't take away from the job that Steichen has done. I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah.
They're awesome to watch. The Colts. Remember the Colts? The team that frustrates you, that's like, God, you're perpetual 8-9. I'm so bored by you. They're a blast to watch. Seattle's, I'm with you. They may be the most complete team in the league. They're a Darnold holding the fort away from being a Super Bowl contender. But to me, the Patriots' turnaround is the story to me. But no, it's eye of the beholder.
All three are deserving.
Totally.
It's a matter of like who's most deserving. So it's a good conversation. And there's still 7 games to go that'll determine the fate of all three as they try to gun for the award. There are 4 great games in the NFL this weekend. Tonight doesn't count. On Thursday Night Football with the 2-7 Jets and the 8-2 Patriots, could end up being close. But here are the 4 games that stand above the rest, in my opinion. In Buffalo, the 6-3 Bucks play the 6-3 Bills, a matchup of 2 playoff teams, one from the NFC, one from the AFC. Tampa Bay coming off of a bad loss to the New England Patriots, 28-23. Buffalo's coming off of a worse loss. To Miami. So one of these really good teams is going to have lost 2 in a row. I think the Bills handle their business at home, but they're a bottom 7 defense in the NFL. They do have some warts. Josh Allen has these kind of just hard to explain away games where he plays at a lower level than his traditional MVP self, and he's coming off of one of those where he just can't snap the team out of a funk. So give me Buffalo in the game, but I think that one's really good. Another great game this weekend, Danny, is the 7-2 showdown in the NFC West for first place. One of the best games on paper all NFL season. Seahawks, Rams in LA. The winner gets to 8-2 and will be in first all alone out west in the NFC. Then you've got an AFC West clash, the other of the really good games on that side of the country. Kansas City's playing Denver. 4:25 kickoff at Sports Authority Field out there, Mile High. Chiefs 5-4 coming off of a bye, playing the Broncos at 8-2. If Denver wins, they have an 80-some% chance of winning the division. If they lose, it drops under 50% for them to win the West. So it's a huge game. And then the last one would be Lions-Eagles. Detroit just hung 44 on Washington and could have scored more. Philly couldn't do anything on offense, and yet you know how their season goes.
That's what they do.
2 minutes left. They're going to be up by or down by a point and right there in the thick of things. But that's a potential NFC championship game between the Eagles and Lions. So 4 games that are pitting playoff teams against one another.
And I'll throw an honorable mention, Chargers-Jaguars. I know it's not as sexy as the other ones and shouldn't be considered as such, but the Chargers are getting healthier. They've been resurgent since that Washington loss. And the Jaguars are trying to hang on for dear life where they start off so well. Remember, this is the, not exactly a rematch, it's been enough time removed, but this was the signature moment of Trevor Lawrence's career. Down 27-0 against the Chargers. They come roaring back to win a postseason game and set a bunch of dominoes to falling that ultimately led Jim Harbaugh to be the head coach, I think, ultimately, in L.A. But the Chargers trying to save their season, basically, as some regression is set in.
Last month for Jacksonville, they lost to Seattle. and the Rams. No harm.
No shame in that, right?
That happened. Then they beat the Raiders by 1 point.
A little shame.
Then they lost to the Texans by 7 with that dramatic comeback you're just referencing where, I mean, Houston was down by a million. You know, that game can't be lost if you're the Jaguars, and it was. So they've got one win, and it's by 1 point over a bad team in their last four. That's the only reason I don't put that one in there. But, yeah, I mean, it's at least two teams that are trying to get to the playoffs, but it's going to be a great weekend of football. And I know you hate morning ball.
I do.
But the good thing about the 9:30 a.m. start time for Washington, we get to enjoy the entire day's worth of games. It's going to be busy in the 4 o'clock window specifically, I think. But the 1 o'clock games highlighted by Bucks-Bills, you get Packers-Giants, which I think could be entertaining. Jameis Winston getting the start at home for New York against Green Bay, suddenly pretty desperate. The Bears-Vikings in the 1 o'clock window should be really good as well. Chicago, if they could get to 7-3, is very much in the conversation for the playoffs. Minnesota's defense is playing a lot better. And then at 4 o'clock, you've got that Seahawks-Rams game. You've got Chiefs-Broncos. Sunday Night Football, Lions-Eagles. Just going to be a great day of football.
Who do you like in that Lions-Eagles game, by the way?
I've gone back and forth in this all week. I think I'm going to take Philly because of Detroit's offensive line being so banged up. Washington could not take advantage because they're not any good. But I think the Eagles will be able to take advantage. They're very good defensively.
Eagles favored by 2.5 in that one. I felt like Detroit found something with Campbell calling plays this week. But
well, that's maybe, because they were playing the Commanders.
You stole my bit. It's like maybe they found themselves playing Washington. Yeah. Maybe that's all that was. But yeah, I mean, I still consider Detroit to have that high ceiling, but I don't know. The Eagles are doing the annoying Eagles thing.
Double play is next. I've got a new TV show that I watched the first two episodes of last night.
Oh.
What do you got?
I got a food that I think is worth trying if you're trying to cut carbs.
I'm very excited about that. That's next on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's time for our double play, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
I'll do this real quick, GP. I'll get out of the way. I think you got something brewing over there. You and I, and I think a lot of Americans and folks around the world, are always on the hunt for low-carb, low-sugar type items for Operation Less Fat. And pasta and carbs, they go together. They're friends.
And they go together like deliciousness and wonderfulness and all the good stuff.
Like lemon tuna fish. And that's what you miss. When you start cutting carbs, that's the first thing you start thinking about is rice and pasta and tortillas and chips and pretzels and all the crunchy, salty, delicious things that made me need to cut carbs in the first place. I get no benefit from this. I'm just telling you, this is something I tried and I think people are going to like. I found it on the Amazons. Pete's Low Carb Pasta, creatively named. Pete's Pasta. Good.
Where'd you get Pete's Pasta from?
Amazon. I'll show it to you right now.
Can I get it at like Costco?
I don't know.
Okay.
We don't have a Costco membership. It's not pragmatic for us because there's not one close by, but I would. I'm going to try and I hope I don't mess up Ryan Clary's camera. That's just all it is right there. It's red bag.
It's got the little mustache.
Yeah, the guy with the mustache on. It looks like Mario kind of.
I'm familiar with Pete's work.
You know about Pete. Pete's Pasta. I had it last night and it was good. Like most of the time when you eat a low carb alternative, like it's cauliflower, but it's like rice. No, it's not. It's a lie.
How low carb is it?
I don't have like a funny zing. 7 net carbs. It's like, how low carb is it? It's so low carb that it's 7 net carbs.
For the whole box?
For a serving. So it'd probably be twice that for you and I size serving because we eat too much.
But so what would a normal serving of real pasta be? Non pizza pasta?
50, 60.
Okay.
Yeah. So like your daily allowance.
Difference.
Yeah.
This is such a win when you find something like this that is help moderately, like yes. Just fake healthy, mm-hmm. but tolerable.
Yeah, that's all it is. Because again, all the substitutes, like you could just drink water, or it's not rice, it's cauliflower pasta. No, it's not. It's ridiculous and it's terrible. Everyone should be ashamed. This stuff is good though. That's what I got for you.
Is it good?
Yes.
Or is it good grading on a curve?
Great question. It's not. I'm not sitting there telling you it's the best pasta I've ever had. I would never do that. But it's legitimate. I go, oh, that's good. If I didn't know it was a proteiny low carb option, I wouldn't think twice about it. It's like your normal store bought pasta. That's what it tastes like.
Okay.
Yep.
I like that. It's time for my double play. Danny, I've got a television show that I want you to check out your leisure.
Okay.
The show is called Death by Lightning. Have you heard of it?
It's in the queue on the old Netflix. I saw it. I was intrigued.
This is a TV miniseries with 50-minute episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I have watched the first 2 episodes, and I am hooked. Now, I'm not going to be able to watch any of it tonight, sadly. The wife will be disappointed to know that, because I got Drake May and the New England Patriots taking on the New York Football Jets.
Well, sure you do, yeah.
So we'll be watching that little ditty. But maybe I'll sneak in one while the wife's asleep this evening and then go back and watch episode 3 with her. Death by Lightning is the drama series Stranger Than Fiction true story of the 20th president of these United States of America, James Garfield, and this weirdo admirer of his, Charles Guiteau, who ends up assassinating him. I'm not burying a lead here, or I'm not.
Whoa, spoiler alert, dude.
Exactly.
Yeah, what's 200 years ago?
Know anything about history? Know that the 20th president of these here United States, who served from 1881 through September of 1881, got assassinated. Well, the guy that killed him is also featured in this show. And through 2 episodes, basically, they're going back and forth with this like juxtaposition between Garfield and this dude that's eventually going to shoot him, who's just, you could see a tick off and what have you. But it's a drama series about James Garfield. And I got to tell you, so far, it's a little bit moaney.
Super underrated, by the way. Just lost to history. Nobody really pays him any mind. Which is always weird to me. Like, there are certain presidents that, like, when we're talking about, like, you go through history class or whatever, they're like, well, we got to talk about what Harding did. We got to talk. Like, no one remembers James Garfield.
So my youngest, Lincoln, his middle name is Garfield.
How about it?
That was not my idea. That was not something I was particularly thrilled about, if I'm being honest.
Oh, okay.
That was the wife's idea.
Mm.
And I combated that idea. We had a debate about it.
And who won the debate?
And now his name is Lincoln Garfield.
Oh.
But the point of the dude's story is, this is my wife's favorite president. But Garfield is played by Michael Shannon, who Danny sleeps on.
I'm sure.
You have no appreciation
for
Michael Shannon, and it's downright ridiculous.
I'm sure I have no appreciation.
You did not watch Succession?
I did.
You did. So Matthew McFadden, or McFadden is how it's spelled, this guy from Succession, plays Guteau in this series. Apparently he was really good in Succession as well. I didn't watch that.
Which guy is he in Succession?
I don't know. You'll have to look him up.
Succession?
Is it Succession?
Succession.
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 No, that's a different series.
Succession is when you take over Succession.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Apparently Tom Wambsgans.
So he
was also, you know him from the latest Deadpool movie.
Oh, I didn't think about it. Okay, yeah, you're right. That's definitely him.
He was the dude that was doing the thing.
You know who's silly in this show, too, is Nick Offerman, who's a sneaky, really good actor. People think he's just like a funny guy.
Which he is.
Old Ron Swanson. But he plays Chester Arthur in this
series. The vice president.
He is the vice president to James Garfield. And for people that don't know Chester Arthur, he's kind of a mess up. And the way he becomes the vice president is kind of comical, but there's a lot of things about the story you probably don't know. I've heard most of this stuff because my wife is pretty obsessed with James A. Garfield and read a book about him in the last couple of years, and now our kid's middle name is that. And he'll have that name forever, by the way, if you're curious. Like in sixth grade, they'll be like, "Hey, Garfield. Hey, little cat who likes lasagna." And he'll be like, "Hey, how's it going?" But you got to check out the show. It's pretty good.
I love that.
Yeah.
You and I, we discovered this. I think Netflix gave us this gift. You get, like, in the past, if you told me, "Hey, there's a show about James," James Garfield. I'd be like,
James A. Garfield.
Like, okay, tell me more about that
also
history
known
class.
As JAG. He's not actually known that, but for our purposes.
For our purposes.
Yeah.
Now, because I've seen so many documentaries about the mildly obscure and the off the beaten path, I now crave that. That's all I want is like that genre of thing.
Clary, I'm going to go to you. I could go to Darius or to Wes because they both won't know it either, but I'm going to go to you for a little Clary Explains It All. Do you have any file on how James A. Garfield actually got the nomination to be a candidate running for the presidency of these here United States?
I've got no file on this, actually.
I don't think most people do. It's actually pretty amazing and ridiculous. He went to nominate a gentleman who asked him to do so from his state. And so back then, the way that they did it was every delegate would be there and vote. You weren't necessarily, there's no like election like we do now where the delegate then casts the vote on the behalf of who won the election, but rather the 300 plus people voting on your behalf to get to the majority on site were all of the votes and those were the delegates. But so he goes there and you're just pitching people to run against me, of all people, Grant.
Grant.
Grant had won two straight elections. He was going for a third term representing the Republican Party. And they didn't want him to be the guy. And so he was the heavy favorite. And so Garfield went to nominate Danny, so to speak, like his guy. And while he gave this incredible speech to talk about how great Danny is, people were like, damn, I like the cut of this
Danny's
guy.
Not that awesome, but this guy's good.
This Garfield guy's kind of a stud. And so one guy puts his name down initially. One puts his name down as a delegate voting on his behalf. And then they can't get the majority. And so for a month, they're trying to figure out who's going to come out of this convention, who's going to be the guy. And little by little, Garfield gains steam. And he's Rick. He's like, please stop voting for me. And eventually, he just becomes the candidate. It's amazing. And it's real life. It's what happened, man.
You sleep on the fact that he was a Civil War general, too, I think.
I don't sleep on that after watching the first two episodes. But I
think
did,
I've got my time frame right.
I did going in. I don't know if he was a general or not. He definitely was heavily involved in the war.
Yeah. I know he fought a bunch. I'd be willing to bet, like, almost a dime that he was in charge of a lot of people. I'm gonna say general, but I'm not sure about that. He was something high ranking.
Something high ranking is a good way to put it.
Yeah, now I'm couching.
Let's give away Caps tickets as soon as we return on Grant and Danny. The Beltway Blitz is next.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. rated T for teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.